first reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 31 and beginning at the first verse and can be found on page 33 of the Church Bibles. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, "Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father." And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, "I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, 'The speckled ones will be your wages,' then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, 'The streaked ones will be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In the breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob.' I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land.'" The second reading is from Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16, and is on page 1001 in the Bible, Church Bibles. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sally, for reading those passages to us this morning. And let me add my welcome to that of Ian's to the service this morning. My name is Michael Tame. I'm also a member of the congregation here. So we come to another episode in the life of Jacob. Before we look at that, I want to tell you about this book. Because when I was younger, one of my favourite books was this, Horton Hatches the Egg, by Dr. Zeus. Now, if you don't know, it's a typical sort of Zeus-type fantasy where Horton, who is the elephant, if you didn't know, promises to sit on Maisie the lazy bird's nest to look after Maisie's egg. He promises it until, as it says in the title, the egg hatches. I won't spoil the surprise of the ending, but while Horton is on the egg, he goes through rain and storm and cold. All his friends laugh at him, then desert him. Hunters come and take him on a boat where he's seasick in a terrible storm, and finally ends up still on the nest in a circus in Palm Beach because he's promised to stay on the nest. And but there's a refrain that goes through the whole book, which has stuck with me for the last 55 years ago, or so, where Horton says, reminding himself of the promise that he made to the totally undeserving Maisie, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. That's a good precept for life, really. One as that we as parents try to stick to as well when we're bringing up our children. If we said something, we tried to stick to our word. Jesus himself says, and it's repeated in the book of James, that treasure house of advice. It says, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. It's kind of, you know, keeps your promises. And why the Bible puts such a high value on this is because it reflects God's complete faithfulness to us. Because we have a God who says what he means and means what he says. He's a God who is faithful 100%. Not 99%. Not 99.9%. But 100%. It means we're not left guessing to whether God fulfills this promise or that promise. If God promises something, he keeps his promise perfectly and completely. Which is why, despite all the lying, cheating, stealing, betraying, and all the other terrible things Jacob has done, God stays with him. Because God has promised to him and to his father Isaac and his grandfather Abram that he would bless them with a land, a people that would fill it, and through that, bless the whole world. It was a promise without strings, conditions, or any good behavior expected upon the recipients, which is a good thing given what we've read. And in our Old Testament reading this morning, there's another promise. I will be with you, which we also hear in the New Testament reading as well, and I'll come back to that in a moment. But for Jacob, of course, he's actually heard this promise before. When God, earlier in the story, 20 or so years ago, when God appeared by the ladder in Bethel and said, I am with you wherever you go. I'll be with you wherever I go. So he's now saying, I am with you and I will be with you. What an amazing promise that God is making to Jacob. But between those two promises, say about 20 years, Jacob's been through some terrible times with Laban. He's been duped and lied to. Jacob complains about his wages changing 10 times. He had to work for 14 years without wages to get his two wives. I'll brush over that one. And now Laban's sons have turned against him. He says, Laban no longer views me with the same favor as before. He has, in those 20 years, become a bit wiser. Now an old man, or if taken literally, a very, very old man, somewhere in his late 90s, he's finally started to learn that God has actually kept his word to him all through those years of trials and tribulations. So in verse, and he attributes all his good fortune to God, not his own efforts. So in verse 5, he says, I see that your father's attitude is not towards me, it's not what it was, but the God of my father has been with me. He sees that God has provided for him through this strange tale of spotted sheep and goats, another one to discuss in your life groups later. But he's, you know, whatever Laban does, God does the opposite, so he's always provided for. And he says he's protected him. So, he says, God has taken away your father's livestock and given to me. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. God has guided him, he's protected him, he's provided for him. And it's a bit like the prodigal son, so that he suddenly comes to his senses and goes, I must return to my father. Which, of course, actually is what God is telling him now in this this passage we see now. And the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. And that is fulfilling that earlier promise at the tower, or the ladder, where he says, I will bring you back to this land. So he's guided him, protected him all the way through all these different trials and tribulations, and Jacob's finally woken up to it. It's true, though, sometimes we only in retrospect see how God has been with us all along, how he provides, protects, and guides us through our lives. There's a very well-known story which I think does bear repeating. It's called Footsteps, and it goes like this. One night, a man dreamed he was walking along the beach with God. Scenes from his life flashed across the sky. In each, he noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there's only one. During the low periods of my life, the man could only see one set of footprints. And he said, "Lord, you promised me that you would walk with me always. Why, when I have needed you most, have you not been there for me?" And the Lord replied, "My child, I've always been with you and never left you. The times when you only see one set of footprints is that's when I carried you." Jacob finally wakes up to that. But this promise of God to be with us is repeated over and over in the Old Testament as he guides and protects and provides for the people of Israel as they become a nation and a people in the promised land despite everything they do. And it's a sorry story. They have to be exiled like Jacob. But in the end, God brings them back to the land of their fathers. Because God has an even bigger picture and bigger promise to fulfill, that he himself will come to save us in the person of Jesus. As you remember at Christmas, Jesus called Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us in an amazing way. And through that will be a blessing for the whole world. In our New Testament reading, we read that promise, "I will be with you," is then repeated by Jesus. Now, this comes right at the end of Matthew, after the resurrection, just before the ascension. Whether it's the same occasion as Luke's account of the final meeting of the disciples, and then the ascension is some matter of scholarly debate, I'm not sure actually that matters too much right now. But the point is that in Jesus' last days, he's on earth, he's teaching the disciples some important truths. And then he makes an amazing promise. Wherever you go, even if you go to the ends of the earth, I am with you always to the end of the age. To the disciples, as Jesus then disappears from their sight, this might have been quite hard to understand in the next following days. But then in the upper room at Pentecost with a rushing wind and tongues of flames, it all becomes crystal clear. The Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus many times, transforms their minds, transforms this bunch of disciples into the church, into a set of people who go and take the word to the world, to the ends of the world, and Jesus with them all the way. And that people, that church, will bless the entire world. And it continues to bless the entire world through you and me, us, the church. That is our holy calling, to be a blessing around to those around us through our mission and telling people about the good news of Jesus. That promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob thousands of years ago is fulfilled here today in this church. And Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as greater than himself, though, that the Spirit will be a helper, a guide, a teacher, will provide everything we really need. And through this, protects us as well. Just in the same way that God guides and teaches and protected Jacob and Israel. And it's that same Spirit that guides and protects and leads us today. And that is how God is with us. I am with you and I will be with you is his promise. And I think some of us need to hear that again today, this morning. Someone in here, in this congregation, perhaps we all do, as we go through times of illness, of grief, of loss, of fear, relationship breakdown, stress and worry, which just seems overwhelming. In all of that, perhaps feeling lost, alone, and scared. God promises to every single one of us, I am with you, I will be with you. After all, it's his very nature, as seen in the Garden of Eden, where he walks with Adam and Eve, and it's promised again at the end of Revelation, when he says, I will be their God and I'll be with them. It's God's desire is to be with his creation, with us. It's the story of the whole Bible. So even if you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, God says, I am with you and I will be with you. If feeling abandoned by the world or even by God, he says, I am with you and I will be with you. If your life is drifting without purpose and without purpose, God says, I am with you and I will be with you. If you feel crushed by anxiety and depression, whatever it is that troubles you this morning, remember that God promises, I am with you and I will be with you. And God meant what he said and said what he meant. God is faithful 100%. Amen.